Industrial Talk is brought to you by TX1. Now, you know cybersecurity is important if you're on this digital transformation journey. TX1 Networks has the solutions for you. And you're saying to yourself, Scott, they're going to be complex. They're going to be difficult. No, TX1's taken that into consideration, and they provide a suite of solutions that truly meet your cybersecurity needs. Go out to txone-networks.com and find out more. You're not going to be disappointed. Also, Industry IoT Consortium. At Industrial Talk, we always talk about education. We always talk about collaboration. We're always talking about innovation. And if you're a business that has any desire to be resilient to the future, you need to be able to educate, collaborate, as well as innovate with other industry professionals. That's a must. Industry IoT Consortium brings that all together. You need to be a part of this community. You need to be connected with these leaders that are all a part of the Industry IoT Consortium. Go out to iiconsortium.org. Find out more. Again, you will not be disappointed. You're just going to be happy. On this episode of Industrial Talk Live, Ann Duncan is in the hot seat. She is the Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of Energy and also the Digital Transformation Lead. And we're going to be talking about utility, digital transformation, that market. It's an incredible conversation that you need to be aware of. Also, events that I will be broadcasting on site. So put those on your calendars. We're going to be talking about those and how to get involved with this ever-expanding ecosystem called Industrial Talk. Let's get cracking. Hey there, and thank you very much for joining Industrial Talk, the ever-expanding industrial ecosystem of leaders and problem solvers. Making our lives better, you need to be a part of the Industrial Talk ecosystem. It's fun because you know why? We are dedicated to education. Yes, check. We are also dedicated to collaborating because we don't have all the answers. You don't have all the answers, but you need to collaborate with trusted professionals. And finally, innovate. We also have to innovate. We also have to continue to push that envelope, and digital transformation is definitely a conversation that is always being discussed on Industrial Talk, so get involved. All right, we've got a couple of things that I want to make sure that we get out first. One, I talked about some events that if you have a desire to be interviewed on Industrial Talk, we have a great time. We're going to be at a couple of events. And if they're on your calendar, that's great. If they're not, put them on your calendar. The first one that I want to be able to put on your calendar that we're going to be at is at MWC. That's MWC. And it is September 28th through the 30th. And if you're going to go there and you're going to see me, let's coordinate and let's schedule a time for us to have a conversation on site. It's a lot of fun. The other one that we're going to be at is IMTS. That is September 12th through the 17th. Again, if you're going to be there, look up Industrial Talk. Let's get you on the calendar and let's get a conversation rolling. The next one that I want to make sure that you have out there, this is pretty cool. This one is the 13th American Manufacturing Strategy Summit. It is also October 11th through the 12th, and it is in Houston, Texas. Look at it. Go out to it. And you're going to have all the information out on Industrial Talk, so all the links are out there. But consider, because we've got to be about the collaboration. We've got to be about that education and bringing them all together. These are great venues to be able to do it. And finally, we're going to do it again. We're going to be at IoT Solutions World Congress. Barcelona is the town. I'm telling you, had a great time this last go around. And in fact, I was going to have a conversation with Ann Duncan, who is going to be on this particular interview. And I had some technical issues, but the IoT Solutions World Congress, Barcelona, January 31st through February 2nd. If you find yourself there, you got to look me up because we have such a fabulous time. And speaking of that, if you have a desire to be on the podcast or be a part of this ecosystem, just go out to industrialtalk.com, find out more. Easy peasy. You'll talk to me. And Industrial Talk is a platform that is truly dedicated to the education within the industrial area. the collaboration, bringing professionals together who have answers and who are looking for answers, and of course innovation, because that's what we're all talking about. All right, on to the conversation. Ann Duncan, once again, was going to speak with her at the IoT Solutions World Congress this past year. And unfortunately, I had technical questions or difficulties, but she's been very good. And one of the things that I find so amazing, so interesting, is digital transformation within the utility market space, the energy, and how that has happened. Distributive energy, what are we doing? Being an old utility guy, I sort of look at it a certain way. These companies, Ann Duncan and team at the Department of Energy, they look at it and they're working with other companies that are trying to help transition into this, whatever this future looks like. It's bright, but it's got a lot of unique challenges that smart people are really focused in on. So this is a great conversation. So this is a note and paper and note conversation. All right, let's get cracking. And welcome to Industrial Talk. Thank you very much for finding time in your busy schedule, because listeners, I had a technical issue when we were at IoT Solutions World Congress. It was embarrassing, but Ann was so gracious and made me feel okay about it. Ann, thank you, man.
Thanks, Scott. It's great to finally get a chance to talk.
Yeah, I'm pretty geeked out about this whole conversation around industrial IoT and then some, and digitization and digital transformation and everything in between. It's an exciting time, specifically within industry. It's exciting and a little nerve-wracking, because I don't know. I need people to help me understand the journey, but that's where you come in and all that good stuff. Before we get into the conversation, I think we need to level set a little bit about who Ann is for the listener. So give us a little background, Ann.
So Scott, thanks for having me again. So I am the Chief Information Officer of the Department of Energy. Previously was the Chief Information Officer for EPA during the Obama administration. Left, went to Santa Clara County, was CIO there. I went to Dell, and then was invited by the transition team to work really hard for free for a while. And after that, I went back to administration, because I was actually having a lot of fun working really hard for free. So I decided to come back and get paid a little bit to do the work. So.
Well, I like that, and I guarantee you that she's got her fingers on the pulse of technology and innovation that has taken place specifically around energy, which is really important. And I don't think, and this is my point of view, I think me as a consumer of power, energy, I take it for granted that I flip on my light switch and there it is, man. And I'm pretty binary. It doesn't work, it works. And that's sort of it. But we're venturing into an interesting world. I still think we're at the tip of the iceberg. You were speaking at the Industrial Internet, IoT Solutions World. There's too many of those buzzwords roaming around. IoT Solutions World Congress, Barcelona. That's where we met. And you were a keynote speaker. What was that topic?
Yeah, so, Scott, I'm going to read the topic because it's a little
please,
long.
Please, because it's lengthy.
It is. So the topic was leveraging innovative technologies at DOE to drive energy transition, security, and research goals.
So why? What were the salient points of that conversation? Because you pop up, I know that when I have conversations, it's all great. Digital transformation is great. From an energy perspective, it's completely different than manufacturing. And one of the points, of course, you brought up security, cyber, all of that stuff. Why was that topic important for DOE?
Yeah, so let me give you a little background on DOE. I told you who I am. Let me tell you who DOE is, because a lot of people don't realize it. So DOE has a bunch of missions, but I'm going to sort of tell you the three major areas I would describe them up. Number one is nuclear nonproliferation and security. So we do everything in the nuclear space, from all the international work to the cleanup of the Manhattan Project to making the actual propulsion for nuclear submarines, and to managing our weapons stockpile. So we do all that. Secondly,
that's number one. My ear is bleeding. And my nose is bleeding too. Holy cow. Okay, yeah. Go to number two. Better not disappoint. Like, oh my God.
Number two is, I hope this doesn't disappoint, this is the one that you think of probably a lot, is the grid and power. So we sell bulk power that is generated by other parts of the government to the companies that then sell you power. So we, you know, we manage a lot of the hydroelectric dams on the West Coast, but also power over most of the country. A lot of that power actually goes through and is sold by DOE into the bulk power market. And we also manage the grid. We ensure that most of the grid in the country, the part that's interconnected, most of that is under our authority to make sure it's actually up and running. So that's number two, kind of an important thing.
Kind of. Holy moly. Yeah.
And then number three is that DOE is basically the engine for innovation in this country from a technology standpoint. We run 17 national labs that do everything from classified research supporting our nuclear energy program to open science, working with scientists around the world. So we work on big problems, you know, like the Stanford Linear Accelerator is part of DOE, the NIF, which if you heard about the project at Lawrence Livermore that just managed to create a small fusion reaction, right? That was a DOE lab. So we do all that stuff. We do work in 5G. We do work in cyber defense. Pretty much if there's an area of technology that people are working on, it's probably happening at DOE. And a lot of the research that's done for other parts of the government, like you hear DOD doing research, a lot of times they're doing it at DOE labs. So we run the vast majority of the science research, basic science and engineering research that happens in this country.
Wow. I'm quite speechless, which is really unusual for me because that is an absolutely spectacular summary of DOE that I did not know. And I guarantee no, clearly. All I was listening, number two, grid and power, bulk power and all that stuff. So DOE, outside of hydro, owns other assets, generation assets that they wheel and how does that work?
So most of those generation assets are run by somebody else in the government, and then we sell the power. But there are some of them where we actually own the assets. But it's primarily hydroelectric. But there's also other types of energy being generated, throughout the network that we then turn around and sell for the government.
I'm not going to venture into number one because I'd be woefully inadequate, and I would be asking stupid questions. I will venture into number two and number three.
Okay.
When we start talking about innovation, when we start talking about digital transformation, and of course, many of the conferences that we go to, that's really it. How do we leverage innovation, technology, this digital world that we're venturing into to optimize our manufacturing process, our grid, which, quite frankly, Ann, I don't know. I'm sort of old school when it comes to grid, where we got power, transmission, substations, and it's pretty linear. And here we are talking about, you know, distributed energy, distributed side of the meter. And for me, it's like, okay, well, it's going to happen, but I don't know how. Right. So do you work in concert with private industry to say, okay, hey, We need help. It's got to be collaborative. You can't just be doing this in a vacuum.
Right. So one of DOE's jobs is private sector energy security. So I actually, and it's a broken up role. So my role, I'm responsible for energy sector security for the stuff that DOE owns, that the government owns. I have a counterpart who's responsible for security for private sector power. So they work with the private sector to ensure that they have secured their assets and that they are able to securely generate power as well. So, you know, in terms of, but certainly we all work together in terms of trying to find the best technologies and solutions and share data and make the grid more effective and more secure. But it's DOE together works with our stuff and the private sector to ensure that we have a seamless power grid. And it's power. So we manage electricity. We also are the sector specific agency for gas as well. So we run, another thing we do is we run the Strategic Petroleum Reserve as well.
And we're responsible
for, you know, oil and gas from a security standpoint and from supporting the sector. And then, you know, there are other sectors. EPA, for example, is responsible for water. But obviously, you know, being responsible for electricity, oil and gas is a pretty substantial amount of responsibility for DOE.
See, I don't know how, it's like grabbing a tiger by the tail, because there's so much change that's taking place. I would imagine, I would even say just, let's say 10 years ago, completely different than it is today. And the way you approach that sort of, that network has changed dramatically. And how does the DOE, outside of the labs and all of the other stuff, just manage that? How do you prioritize? I would imagine critical infrastructure, you better secure it. We don't want that. We don't want things happening there. Okay, I got that. Then how do you sort of, I mean, there's so much going on. I don't know how you do it. There it is.
Well, yeah, and I think, Scott, the thing is that, so we have four power administrations that each are responsible for a section of the country. And they're responsible for ensuring that security and resilience. And, you know, we've really upped our focus on OT, right? So that's why we're having this conversation. Operational technologies have been an afterthought in security for a long time. You know, we have giant transformers. We have other things at the labs that are big and complicated. But just in the power grid, you know, these huge transformers and other assets, we have to worry about not only keeping those up and operational and secure, we have to worry about things like timing of the grid, right? So if you don't have good timing, the grid won't work. So we use GPS timing, which has some challenges. And one of my jobs actually at DOE is I'm the senior official for spectrum management for DOE, because we coordinate spectrum management across the federal government. And we look at who uses radio spectrum, right? And where interference exists. And one of my jobs is to make sure that we control spectrum so that the grid is not interfered with by other users. Right. So that's another piece. A third or fourth. I don't know how many we're up
to. I don't either. For me, you've got to understand the gymnastics that are going through my head. And I can't keep. I'm going, I got to ask a question there. Write it down.
Another piece is that we have to manage, as you alluded to this, right? We now have a two-way grid. We have distributed generation and storage. So a grid power used to go one way. Now power goes two ways in that grid, and you have to manage that. And you also have to manage all of these potential entry points for cyber actors, right? Instead of there being one big point, now, you know, I have my house in California, has solar, it has batteries, right? So it's got, you know, my batteries and my solar are connected to Wi-Fi into the house and then to the power company. Right. So there's opportunities there for bad actors. But also the grid has to be able to take back the energy I generate, right, when I generate it. And it has to be able to manage the situation where the grid goes down and I'm still generating power and make sure I'm not feeding energy back into a grid and potentially hurting somebody who's trying to fix a power line. You know, there's also the issue of smart meters, right? Those are wireless. You've got to be able to protect those smart meters to ensure that no one can get in the grid that way. So the complexity is just through the roof.
It's through the roof. That's every time I have this conversation, Ann, it's the same thing. I walk away with, oh my gosh, I don't know where to go. I don't know what steps. Oh, I see a problem there. And you know what's interesting? I used to be an old crotchety journeyman transmission lineman. So when you start talking about power outages, and we even had issues where people would zip the power through, and it's the transformer goes one way, it'll step it up, and people don't realize that. But and you brought up another interesting point, is that timing. It's timing. This grid is on time. You can't just be out of sync or out of time,
right?
I don't know, from a system operator's perspective, it's only doable by digitization. There's no way, because the old school way was like, I've got these generation assets, I got this demand, I'm watching it, and I'm meeting demand and supply, and I'm doing it physically. And now there's no way. There's no way.
Yeah.
You get upside down and flip around. It's like, so why is this digital transformation, the impact, the energy, your innovation, and what you guys are focused on, why is it important?
Well, you hit on it, right? So the piece around the grid, it's important because we want to make sure that we can provide reliable power. So it means that from a digital transformation standpoint, we have to change the way we're operating the grid to ensure we can keep up with the complexity. You know, we're now looking at, can we actually do our IoT, our OT, our operational technology stuff in the cloud, right? Can we do that work for the power grid in the cloud safely and securely and have more resilience in that way? So, you know, we've got to find ways to make it easier to operate the grid, because as it gets more complex, to your point, the individuals who used to look at computer screens or even manual dials, you know, and make adjustments aren't going to be able to keep up with the complexity, right? If I've got millions of endpoints coming into, you know, if I'm Southern California Edison, millions and millions of endpoints out there, I've got smart meters, I've got rooftop generation, I've got batteries, I've got all my enterprise assets, which now include storage assets and generation assets of all different types, and I got to balance the grid. There's no way I can do that manually. So you've got to digitize that, and you've got to simplify it. And you're going to be using you're going to be using AI and machine learning to make those adjustments, because a human being can no longer do it.
The you brought up an interesting component of can we place this complexity in the cloud? And I agree with you 100%. Are there any concerns with this digital transformation and latency? Because that's another conversation that people are having and saying, I get it in the cloud, but even that little whatever latency mm-hmm. between that and versus the timing on the grid right. and keep it going. How do we address that?
Well, and that's an interesting question, right, about latency. So you have to figure out what your tolerance is for latency, and some things won't be able to go in the cloud if they're sufficiently real time and you can't get something close enough, something with fast enough connection. But, you know, the latency doesn't become an issue, you know, for hundreds, if not thousands of miles before it really becomes a substantial issue.
Yeah.
Even for timing. I had a job once where we had two data centers that were a half a mile apart, and folks were trying to tell me that they couldn't possibly have their stuff in the data center half a mile away from their office because there was too much latency. And I was like, you do know data moves at the speed of light, right? And so let's talk about how much latency we got in this half mile. Let me see if I can do that math. But, so it certainly does become an issue, particularly with large amounts of data.
Yeah.
But, you know, real-time control systems, you can certainly tolerate some distance before you're going to have a problem. And remember, we also have to figure out how to manage that over long distances. So we have to deal with the distance anyway. That's an issue either way.
Because you've got a dispersed asset base in every utility, every service territory. It's not confined by four walls. It's out there, man. And it's going for miles and miles and miles. So it's stunning. So when we start talking about renewables, net zero, one of the challenges that I see, is, and I get it, there's a lot more EVs out there, right? There just are. It's mm-hmm. it's a scientific fact. They're out there. And they're plugging into the grid.
Mm-hmm.
And they're plugging in at the grid pretty fast. And yet grid maintenance, grid improvements, that's not a fast thing. And so I see a disconnect between the speed at which these innovative solutions are attaching themselves to the grid and our ability to be able to say, oh, yeah, here we go, this, that, and the other. How do we address that? What are some of the solutions around that?
Yeah, so that is an interesting problem. I mean, I certainly want to see EV adoption move faster. That's one of our goals of the department is EV adoption and working with DOT to improve the EV charging infrastructure in this country. you know, I personally, I was laughing. I got home from, I had some house guests who came last night before I got home from my trip. And I, you know, here's the IoT. I opened the garage for them from my phone while I was sitting on an airplane at a gate, right? And they grabbed the, and I, because I'd left them keys in the garage, and they walked in and said, yep, we must be in the right garage. I see a Tesla.
Yeah, so, that's cool.
So, you know, I mean, my Tesla sits in my garage and charges at 20 miles an hour, right? Not very fast. And you know, in California, I was charging it off of my own generated power. Here I'm not, because I haven't had a chance to get some panels in this house. But, you know, part of it is the more that we can add that distributed generation capacity to match those vehicles, right, the more that they become less of a burden on the system. And most of them do charge at that rate. Most people have a level two charger in their house if they've got an EV, and they're charging at 20 miles an hour. Then you got the fast chargers out there, right? And I think that, you know, the fast chargers are more of a challenge, although I know that Tesla, some of the other providers are starting to add solar to their charging stations. So they're adding some generation capacity at that charging station as well. Now they probably aren't matching, and I don't know this for a fact. My guess would be they're not matching their demand and supply, but they're at least adding to the supply. So I think, you know, the reality is to me, distributed generation is going to solve a lot of these problems. The more we can put rooftop solar, local wind, whatever that is, to distribute the demands on the grid, distribute the supply on the grid to match the demands on the grid, that's going to help. But otherwise, it's going to be a transition, right? It's going to be a transition to get more power on the grid at the right times for the right devices. And the other key is to get these devices mostly charging, these cars mostly charging in off hours, right? You can program your car to charge in the middle of the night. So if you're charging at your garage, you're going to choose to charge in the middle of the night anyway, because you're going to pay less for power. And so that we can manage the demand on the grid. There's also going to be a future where you're going to be able to, at peak time, be able to pull charge back out of those vehicles and bring it back into the grid. Yes. So the goal is for those vehicles to become part of the grid infrastructure as well.
See, that to me is like, okay, that's it. And be able to manage that. Like, here are 10,000 in this area that here as a system operator, I'm going, all right, let's start pulling it up. They're all plugged in. Oh, that one's not plugged in. And I see it.
A grid operator has to just be able to send a command that says, okay, I want to pull charge from cars, and have the systems go, okay, my car is now going to contribute, right? Because you can't possibly manage each individual device.
And I want everybody to be successful. I just think that it's imperative. It's going to happen. If you're in manufacturing, whether you like it or not, and you're saying, I don't want to be a part of this digital transformation, well, your competition is. And you need to consider it and dip your toes in it, because there are a lot of good people out there willing to help you. And that goes with the utility. Now, being an old utility guy, I know you have service territories all across the country and around the world, but we're talking here. And so every utility has a different journey, right? Every small, mid, large, you know, investor-owned, whatever it might be. That's a whole nother level of complexity, because I might not be there. I'm over here. I'm just trying this. And then I just think that it's a heck of a job you have, Ann.
It's a lot of fun. We get to do cool stuff, for sure.
Yeah, you get to do cool stuff. We're going to have to wrap it up. That's our time. Okay. How do people get a hold of you? They're saying, gosh, can I, a utility, just contact the DOE? Can I just like, hey, I need help?
Well, most of the utilities already know how to get a hold of us. They work with different parts of the organization, but they are more than welcome to hit up my DOE account on Twitter, send us a note, to send an email over to DOE. We'll be happy to connect them with resources if they don't have it. But we try very hard to be connected to those folks in the energy sector. So
that's your role. You're connecting. You better be connected. Well, anyway, you were absolutely spectacular. Thank you for saying yes, man. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you. Thanks, Scott. It's great talking to you.
Definitely could geek out much longer, but you know, I've got to think about the listeners. You know, maybe there's three of us that get really geek out on it. You being one, right. So now it's down to two. All right, listeners, fear not. We're going to have all the contact information for Ann out on industrialtalk.com. Thank you very much for joining, Ann.
Thank you, Scott.
All right, listeners, we're going to wrap it up on the other side. So stay tuned. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right. Thank you very much for joining Industrial Talk Live. It was a great pleasure. Absolutely. Thank you to Ann Duncan as well. I hope you enjoyed that conversation. Reach out to her. All her contact information will be out at industrialtalk.com. So fear not. Reach out. Get the information that you need to help you be successful going forward. A lot of changes are happening. Being led by Ann and team DOE, as well as many other companies. You need to be a part of that, so do not fear them. You need to reach out. All right. Again, I'm going to have all the places that we're going to be on site. Reach out to me. Schedule your time. If you're going to be at these conferences, it'd be great to meet you. Easy peasy. Scott, just want to talk to you. Make it happen, because it is a lot of fun. And talk about what you are doing there at the event. Important. All right, be bold, be brave, dare greatly. We're going to have another great conversation shortly, so stay tuned and be a part of the ecosystem.